Lord, we thank you that your word is alive and active. It's powerful. It changes us, and it does change the atmosphere when we bring your word, your truth, into the room and into the situation, Lord. And so we look to you, we look to your word, and we say, have your way with us. May we move forward in who we are in Christ Jesus this morning because of the word that you have for us. We pray this, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we just finished a 4-week exploration of God's call for us, His church, to be influential in our community and in our culture. It's God's call for us to bring the influence of heaven to this earth, to bring the influence of heaven to our neighborhoods, to our offices, to our classrooms. God has created us to be His agents of influence in the world today. And I'm grateful again that there's a church filled with people here who are doing that and catching more vision for that and walking therein. That was my old English. We sang that, you know, hymn this morning, so I'm rolling with the King James Version. All right, I'll stop that now. What's up next? We got the word in January about our call to influence. Where's God taking us as we move forward, wanting to hear what He has to say? Well, I just want to say this, that I don't take the role of preaching, of sharing the Word of God lightly. I really see it as a prophetic role that I have here in this church family to hear what God is saying and then to share what God is saying. And so in that, I don't just fall back on regurgitating tips and tricks and, you know, ideas and thoughts that are kind of floating around there on the internet or even in groups of other pastors that I hang out with. I don't just kind of go rotely and mechanical at just picking another set of scripture and saying, okay, this is the next book or this or that, and we're just going to keep plowing through it. Although I often am led by the Lord to expositorily preach through books and large segments of scripture. But what I do, the process that I engage in as I'm looking for what God wants to share with us is to ask God and to spend time with Him in the place of prayer and listening for what He wants to share with this church family, where He wants to lead us as we move forward as His children. And so during this pursuit and during this process, I feel that the Lord has us in a season of expansion, and it's pretty obvious, isn't it? We see the evidence of it all around us. Again, I've already talked about it, the playground, the parking lot, you're about to see that, the expansion of our worship center here, what God is doing. We see the evidence of expansion already all around us. But this expansion that God wants us to focus in on and spend time hearing from Him about, it goes beyond the external. And it goes very internal on us. The expansion that God is doing and continuing to do in this church is an expansion of our hearts. It's an expansion of our love. It's an expansion of His Spirit within us. And I just appreciated the worship that we had this morning and the crying out to God to show us His glory, for Him to pour out more of His Spirit in us, to set us on fire for Him. That's the kind of expansion that God is wanting us to be reminded of and wanting us to engage in and to welcome in our lives. Because God has called us, the church that we're part of, He's called us to be the expanding church. And that's the title of the series and the set of messages that God is going to be bringing to us over the next couple months. The expanding church. There's the graphic of it. I had fun making that this week, as you can tell. Whoop. Photoshop is a great thing, isn't it? The expanding church. And again, external expansion is a result of an internal expansion of our spirit through Christ Jesus. Our external expansion, the evidence of expansion, is the result of an internal expansion of the Spirit moving in us as the people of God. And so let's listen to what God is saying to us about expansion. Are you all ready to roll forward with the Word of God, what He has for us? Let's do it. Let's first remember this, that God is in the business of expanding. That's just what God does. He expands things. He increases. He moves things forward. God is taking things. He's taking us, His people, to new levels. That's just what God does. That's how He operates. Take a look at the expansion that occurred in the church on the day of Pentecost. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we find some serious expansion, and here's what the word says. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they, meaning the church, about 120 people, the church, came together in one place. And suddenly, a sound, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, everyone who was gathered together on that day, in that room together, waiting for the expansion of heaven, it says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We know the rest of the story. So this church now that just was filled with the Holy Spirit went out into their community, into the culture, and they began to influence it. And what happened? Peter began, filled with the Spirit now, to preach the gospel of Jesus, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. That's some serious expansion that occurred in the church. 3,000 people in one day. What happened? The Holy Spirit showed up, didn't He? The Holy Spirit showed up. He filled the church. What did He do? He expanded His presence on this earth. Heaven came down. The Holy Spirit came. He expanded His presence on this earth by filling the church, by baptizing the church in Him. And what happened? Expansion happened. Evidence of that expansion occurred. God's presence on this earth, the church grew 3,120 strong now in one day. That's how God operates. He's in the business of expanding the church. Here's another early church example of expansion. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 8. So while the church was expanding, it was also being persecuted. Acts chapter 8, again, verses 1 through 4. It says, on that day, now this is the day that Stephen, who is one of the rock stars of the early church, I mean, this guy was amazing, one of my favorite guys in the whole world that's ever lived, Stephen. A man filled with the Spirit, bold in Christ Jesus. And on that day, that's the day that he was stoned to death. On that day, it says, verse 1, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles, all the church except the apostles, were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul, who would become the apostle Paul, Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, everywhere they went. In other words, the church, the gospel, the truth, the presence of God went out. And the church expanded rapidly geographically and launched out of Jerusalem to the regions, it says, of Judea, of Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. This whole process, by the way, is called the diaspora. It's the scattering of the saints, the diaspora, the scattering of the saints. And notice that the Lord used this scattering of the saints that occurred because of persecution. He used it, this difficult situation, to expand his church, to grow his family, to expand the presence of the kingdom of God on this earth. God used this difficult situation. So we can pick something up from that. I know there's many in this room who are even going through difficult times right now. Difficult situations in your life. And if you're not going through one now, the chances are you're going to have an opportunity at some point, because we live in a broken world and things happen and God works all things together for good, and he uses all these things as he did in the early church right here with the diaspora. He can use difficult situations to expand us and to increase his glory in us and through us. The Apostle James gives us some insight into that. You're familiar with it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, church, family members. Consider it pure joy whenever you face difficult situations, trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, going through those difficult situations, it develops this thing called perseverance. And perseverance must finish his work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. And every time I read that, every time I think about that passage, I'm always thinking, that's what I want. I want maturity. I want completeness. And I don't want to lack anything that God has for me. And so because God is so good, he even uses difficult situations to expand his glory, his presence, his goodness, his kingdom in us and through us. Because God is a God who is expanding his church. And so as we launch into this word about expansion, we're going to recognize something, that expansion begins with expanding our vision. And that's the title of the first message of the series, Expanding Our Vision. We're going to go to the Old Testament, to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Go back there and find Habakkuk chapter 2. That's a little easier. Verses 2 and 3. This is what God says to his church about expansion. He says, church, write the vision. And I'm going to use the ESV version of Habakkuk 2 this morning because they use the word vision. The NIV uses the term revelation. It means the same thing. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. It's an amazing passage of faith that should encourage every single one of us in the room. And as we look at that passage in light of what God is saying to us, expanding our vision is important because vision brings clarity. And that's the first point of this message. Vision brings clarity. Again, verse 2, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. So expansion requires vision. Expansion requires clear direction from God. Because without clarity from God, without clear direction from God, what do? We default to the old nature, to our old ways. If we don't have vision of moving forward in God, we revert back to the old ways. And when we go back to the old ways, what begins to happen in our lives? We begin to spiritually die, atrophy, and die. In Proverbs 29:18, It says where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. They go back to their old ways. They go back into slavery to sin. They cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. And it takes vision to walk in the way of the Lord. It's sad, and we see this, that there are many Christians who are dying. I'm talking about spiritually dying and atrophying, and spiritually drying up. And maybe we've been there. Maybe we're there right now. We just feel spiritually dry, thirsty, and like almost numb sometimes. And the cure to that situation is vision from God. You want to cure spiritual dryness? You want to cure spiritual atrophy? Spiritual malaise? You want to cure those issues? Vision. In fact, let me be more clear. Fresh vision from God is going to pour the Spirit of God back in you, and you will no longer be drying up, but filling up in the things of God once again. It's fresh vision that we need, that we have to have. Otherwise, we begin spiritually dying. Fresh vision. And where do we get this fresh vision? We get it from God. And so we spend time with God because we're desperate for fresh vision from God. And we get in His presence and we read His Word. Becky, thank you for sharing that this morning. There's so much, so many nuggets, so much, so many treasures in the Word of God, so much vision. It's all right here. So we go to God. We go to His Word. We go to the place of prayer. We go to the place of worship, getting in His presence and positioning ourselves to receive fresh vision from God, because without it, we're dying, but with it, we're alive. I mean, we're alive. So Habakkuk, it reminds us that when God speaks, in other words, when we receive fresh vision from the Lord, that we should do something about it. And the first thing we should do is we should write it down. Amen. Receive the vision. Write it down. As of Monday, that was 6 days ago now, as of this past Monday, I looked at my iPad when I was beginning to write, you know, the message and receive what God was saying. I had 879 unique notes, unique entries in my iPad right here in the notes section. 879. I probably got close to 900 by the end of this week on my iPad. And I would guess about half of those notes, close to half of those notes, are words that God has spoken to me. I mean, I'm talking about some of them are like half of a term paper for high school or college, you know, or a thesis. I mean, some of them, you know, it's just like God keeps saying, so I keep typing and writing or using the, you know, speaking it and text or whatever. You know how that works on these fancy things, right? And I'll just start talking and why is it, by the way? I'm sorry. This is just how Eric operates sometimes. Woo! And why is it that when we talk into our phones and we say the name Jesus or Christ or Lord, it always messes it up and it never has a spell correction for that? Doesn't that drive you crazy? Somebody needs to pray for Apple, for Siri, that Siri would get filled with the Holy Spirit and start dealing with the name of Jesus correctly. You know what I'm saying? 879 notes. Half of them, nearly half of them, ideas, words, things that God has given to me. Vision, clarity, understanding that God has given to me as I've been sitting with Him in His presence, listening and interacting with Him, writing it down. Now, I use the iPad and the phone and stuff like that. My wife, she loves the handwritten journal type stuff. So she journals and she writes all this stuff out. And I wouldn't be able to read what God said to me if I did that. But she writes all. So it doesn't matter that the method, the technique you use. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the principle of positioning yourself to get fresh vision from God and understanding this is a word from the Lord. I don't care if it just seems like, hey, you need to wash the dishes differently or do whatever. If God is saying that, write it down because it's important. The next time it might be the next 5 years of your life, clarity and faith to walk forward into something that seems difficult, but you know it's the voice of God and the call of God on your life. So we write it down. We write it down. So we get the vision. We write the vision. We remember it. We go back to it. And we run with it. And we're going to talk about running with it here in a little bit. So expansion requires vision. Vision brings clarity, which is that clear direction from the Lord. And we need this clarity because without it, we're ineffective and we're aimless. And that took me to Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, writing to the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. So turn with me there. God gives you something. As we're looking through this, write it down. You got a way to do that? Get your phone out. Got a pad? Ready to go? All right. Verse 24. Without clarity, we're ineffective, we're aimless. This is how Paul puts it. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So again, the context that the Apostle Paul is referring to here is the effectiveness, the ultimate outcome of our Christian lives. Okay, he's talking about, do you want to live an effective Christian life? You want to be successful? You want to finish strong? You want to get it right? So he's saying, then you need to do this. Live it or run in such a way as to get the prize. If you want the prize, then run in the way, live in the way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it. We live the Christian life. We train. We get in the Word. We get in the presence of God. We do that because we know we're going to get a crown that's going to last forever. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, with this reality, I do not run like a man that's running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man that's beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now let's get this right. He's not talking about physically beating his body. He's talking in the context of this analogy. He works out spiritually. He works out as a Christian. He works out hard. He goes into serious training so that he will get the vision and walk in the faith that God's called him to walk in. So we need to live our lives. We need to run the race of faith with God and with godly clarity and intentionality. We have to be intentional. Otherwise, we're going to default to a life of aimless ineffectiveness. We're going to miss the mark. Why? Because we lack clarity and focus. Again, we'll perish because we lack vision. We haven't sought the word of the Lord, the fresh vision from God. What can happen is we can begin to live lives where we simply are reacting to the circumstances around us. And if we find ourselves in that situation, we're losing. You know what I'm saying? I coached basketball for many years. And when the other team would get the momentum and control the game and all we were doing was reacting to what they were doing, we were losing. They were putting more points on the board than we were. And that's what happens in our lives when we just allow life to dictate how we're going to live and we begin just to react to life, we're losing. And we don't have to do that because we have relationship with the living God and we have a way to get in his presence and to grab fresh vision from him. And now we're not moving aimlessly through life or just reacting to what it's doing to us. We're going with God and nothing's going to stop him. So nothing's going to stop us. Here's what it can look like when we allow the world to dictate our lives. Here's what it can look like when we're just kind of beating the air as Christians. Check out this video. And there's the bell for round one. The Mighty Ages, the Mighty come out.
come into the center of the ring, looking at each other. Rocky just looking. Creed, the champion, zipping, flying those jabs out there, left-handed jabs, right in the head, bang. The champ stinging the slower challenger, jabs at will. In fact, just looks like Rocky blocking blows with his face. The champion doesn't look the best he's ever been, but he's really moving Fulton now.
Well, the champion is smiling now. He's toying with his man. He's trying to give the fans their money's worth because we're doing and make a show of it. And a very badly outclassed challenger right now. Yeah, he's just trying to make his man make the first one. See, make a miss like that. Yeah, he's just, the champ is just taunting him now.
He's about to catch fresh vision here. Look out.
Creed dancing around.
Oh!
The champ is down.
Yes, he is.
Oh! Man, he started that fight beating the air. Aimless. Didn't know what he was doing, just throwing punches, hitting nothing. Finally, he was a pretty quick learner, actually. Caught some vision of what he really needed to be doing, how he really needed to be swinging. And he took him out, right? He put him down. Now, I know that a lot of people think that the modern sport of boxing is kind of barbaric, and in a lot of ways it is, and it's pretty damaging. You know, a lot of concussions and things like that happen, but I want us to take a closer look at the type of boxing that the Apostle Paul is referring to when he's talking about boxing and beating the air here in this passage of Scripture. Back in the day, in the Apostle Paul's day, the form of boxing that was used in those first Olympic games in Paul's era was called pancration. It's pancration, ancient form of boxing. And essentially, it was a no rules, no holds barred kind of fight that would occur. It was a lot like MMA fighting today. A little different. The guys were naked. I'm just saying that's how they did it. Kind of strange, but that's how they did it. And they would just keep tearing each other apart and beating each other until one was left standing and coherent and the other was sometimes no longer, if you know what I'm saying. Legend has it that Ulysses returned from the Trojan Wars, and when he returned, his own mother, because of all the war and fighting that happened, his own mother couldn't recognize him. But there's also a rumor that when the pancration champion returned from those first Olympic Games, that even his own dog didn't recognize him. That's how brutal this kind of boxing, this kind of fighting was that was occurring in the time that Paul was writing this letter to the church in Corinth. First century boxing, brutal. And so it seems strange, maybe, why is Paul using this metaphor of this kind of brutal boxing when he's talking about living successfully the Christian life? I mean, after all, in our culture, if you follow Christ, you're just a sissy, right? And it's kind of a crutch. And Christians, it's just kind of an easy way of living, right? Christianity taking on that feminine character almost. And don't hear what I'm not saying, ladies. Y'all are tough. I've watched my wife give birth to our four children. Unbelievable. When somebody's sick in the house, the biggest wimp is daddy right here. Okay? So don't hear what I'm not saying. All right? Someone mentioned that even in France that you're considered a Christian if your wife goes to church. You hear what I'm saying about Christianity? Most people think that Christianity is for the weak and that it's easy to be a Christian. But the Apostle Paul reminds us that the path of Christian discipleship is potentially a bloody and brutal experience. And we wish it weren't this way, but it is. Look around the world. It might not be for us in this room right here, right now, but as we look around the world, we see how brutal and bloody it can actually physically be even. I experienced some of the brutal, bloody spiritual warfare, but the physical brutality of being a Christian, it's real today. It was real in the time that Paul was writing these letters to the church as Stephen was being stoned, the church being persecuted, them having to scatter all around just to save their physical lives. We wish we could love others without having to make real and costly sacrifices, but we can't. There are times it's just going to cost us, and it can be painful. And without vision, without clarity from heaven, we're going to lose the fight. We're going to begin just beating the air. Sometimes we lose the fight, and beating the air is because of persecution. But I was thinking about it this week. Sometimes we end up just beating the air and losing the fight and having no influence and retracting and retreating instead of expanding and moving forward, because what's going on? The world's beating us up in a different way here in the West, in the church. It's beginning to pull us in to looking like them, to engaging in worldly things, in temporal things. And then what happens when we begin to do that? Our lives are just like that boxer Rocky at the beginning of that fight, just beating the air, not landing a punch. No power, no presence of God. That's what can happen. And so we need vision. We need clarity from heaven so that doesn't happen with us. We want to be part of what God is doing, expanding His kingdom, so we embrace vision. Let's look at point number two. Point number one was vision brings clarity. Point number two is this: vision helps us run the race. Write the vision down, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. So vision from God makes things clear so that we can run as children of God. And here's the good news: God doesn't hold back vision. He's generous with it. He will give us the vision. He gives us all we need, Scripture says, for life and for godliness, all we need to run and to get the prize. But in any race, we need fuel if we're going to finish. And here's an example of that. Check out this video.
What a topsy-turvy finish to the Coca-Cola 600.
And Dale Jr. is scooting away. Uh-oh, he's slowing, isn't he?
150,000 people on their feet.
Jr. is slowing. He's out of fuel. He's out of gas.
And as that Indy, the leader at turn four, does not get to the flag, Harvick, the closer, wins it.
Once again, where did he come from?
Oh, I just love that laugh at the end of that video. Good old boy. All right. Vision from the Lord, the clear direction from God, is our fuel. It's the fuel that we need in order to run the race and to finish the race. So go get your vision. Get your fresh vision. Get refueled on the Word of God and what He's saying to you. You might have gotten refueled 5 years ago. You've run out. Or it's stale. Refuel. Fresh vision. Let's run this race. Let's finish. We're ahead. You know that, right? And we are going to win. But we still got to get fueled up. Fresh vision from God. Let's look at the final point found in this important passage of Habakkuk. And that is this: vision is always timely. And everyone says amen. Thank you, God. He's never late. Vision is always timely. Verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. Not your appointed time, but God's appointed time. Still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. And if it seems slow, church, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not delay. It will surely come. It will not delay. Do you ever feel like you don't hear from God? Hey, I go there sometimes. Where you don't hear from the Lord. You don't have clarity on vision, on plans. You don't know really what to do next and where to go next. What is the next step in life? God, I'm asking, I'm praying, I'm waiting, and you're still not getting it. It happens. It just happens. That's part of life, and so we keep praying, right? God says don't panic when that happens. And don't give up on God and decide to create your own vision or to manufacture your own fuel to run the race. Don't do that. Wait for it. God declares vision will surely come. If it seems slow, He says, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And so as you think about vision from God, the word from the Lord, the fresh vision that He has for you, If you get nothing else this morning, remember this. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. It will surely come. Position yourself in the presence of God, in His Word, in prayer, in worship, and wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Jesus said this, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It will be opened. It will be open. Jesus makes this declaration. It's in the active and in the present tense. So basically, when we look at the original Greek, here is what Jesus is saying to His disciples. Are you a disciple and follower of Christ? If you are, this is what He's saying to you. He's saying, keep asking. Keep asking. Wait for it. Keep asking and wait for it, and it will surely come. It will not delay. God will provide it in the right appointed time. Keep seeking. Keep on seeking. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Keep positioning yourself. Keep putting up that sail, waiting for the blowing wind, fresh vision from the Lord, and you will find it. Amen. Keep knocking on the door of heaven. Amen. And the door of vision, provision, and whatever else you need from God, it will come. So we keep asking. We keep seeking. We keep knocking. Don't give up. Wait for it. I really believe God is speaking this to us for such a time as this. This word right now about expanding. The expanding church. Expanding our vision. Because God wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to receive that fresh vision. He has it. For us individually, He has it for you. And He has it for us corporately as a church fellowship. He has vision that brings clarity. He has vision for you that will bring life. Is there something dead in your life right now that you want to come alive? God will provide the fresh vision that will be the fuel, that will be the resource that will bring it back to life. God wants you to receive, and He has for you the vision that will bring you joy, that will bring you hope, and that will fuel you into truly living out and experiencing the plans and the purposes that He created you for. The vision is there. Wait for it. Wait for it. It will surely come. Church, let's stand up. Let's just sing together right now in faith. And if you're coming into agreement with what God is saying here in His Word, and if you're coming into agreement with this Word about having your vision expanded and your desire for fresh vision, one way that we can demonstrate agreement with God is just to sing in faith. To respond in worship and in praise. And so let's do that even right now.